It's a Tom Hanks podcast. Wow, it's Tom Hanks podcast. You've got Hanks, so let's say thanks for Hanks. Yeah.
Hello and welcome to You've Got Hanks. This is the podcast about Tom Hanks, hosted by me, Rachel Chapman. This season, you know that we're doing Colin Hanks movies, and I'm so excited today because I've got two of my favorite people and podcasters. They're the co-hosts of We Stand Together. It's Lauren and Caitlin.
Woo! Hello. Hi, yay. Rachel.
Hey, welcome.
We're on the pod. We're doing it.
Yeah.
Thrilled to be here.
And today we're talking about the 2001 movie Get Over It, starring Colin Hanks and other people.
Oh, it's a Colin Hanks vehicle.
Yeah, yeah.
It's for sure.
Well, it also stars Kirsten Dunst, Ben Foster, Melissa Sage Miller, Cisco Shane West, Zoe Saldana, Mila Kunis, Swoozy. Is that
Swoozy. I was about to jump in. If you didn't say Swoozy, I was about
Swoozy
to
Kurtz, Swoozy Kurtz. We know from Sisters.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Ed and Begley Jr., Martin Short, Carmen Electra, Vitamin C, Coolio.
I mean, there's never been a better cast.
I actually cannot dispute in any way.
Never. There's never been a better cast.
I like that. You know, there's a moment on IMDb where you're like, okay, well, I'll stop. But I had to keep going.
it never comes.
It hits so many actors at such a weird point in their career, either going up or down, that it manages to have like no names you don't recognize in the film. Because Zoe Saldana has like four lines, but you're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this was like, was this right after or right before Crossroads? When was Crossroads?
It's right before.
Right before.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So this was, because Crossroads was where I was like, no. Center Stage was where I was like, Zoe Saldana.
I think this may have come out after Center Stage, but all of these movies have that thing where they could have been released like 19 months after they were completed. Like,
sure.
You don't really know
why
they were released when they were.
Yeah. Also, this movie, I had no idea it existed until this podcast.
Wow. And to me, this is a building block of my personality. Like, this is foundational to me. This is canon. This is scripture. This is important.
This is a movie, you know, for the listeners that don't know us, Lauren and I host a pop culture podcast together. We're very good friends. One of the ways we became good friends, if I remember correctly, we were friends and then we were writing together, and you made your username on Writer Duet Dawson's Creek Fan 3. This was not something that you really needed a username for, but I was like, okay, I do like this girl. But I actually brought this movie up, I don't know if you remember this, Lauren, as the movie with that big red scene, and I don't like it. And you were like, it's called Get Over It, and it's wonderful.
And so this is where we are a house divided.
I have a nuanced opinion, but I don't know, we'll get to it.
Okay.
But we are a house divided.
I did ask you guys for another episode, but then you got confused and thought it was this movie, and then it was revealed that you guys are you have different opinions on the film. So I was like, well, I want that fire for my for my podcast.
And in fairness, the movie you suggested is called Whatever It Takes, which is basically the exact same title as Get Over It, and this movie could be called Whatever It Takes.
And Shane West is in both of the movies.
Yeah. And in both movies, I hate Shane West's character.
Shane West was very unlikable for much of the early aughts.
Yeah, what was that? Because I only know him as likable, because I know him from A Walk to Remember and was at A League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
I didn't remember that one, but yeah, it's all about A Walk to Remember with Shane West to me.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you know, but... I saw every single thing he did, and there was the good, the bad, the ugly, and whatever it takes was the ugly.
Yeah, and he's supposed to be the main guy that you're rooting for, and
he's supposed to be the main guy.
He's the Ben Foster from Get Over It. It takes.
Yeah, what was up with the early 2000s and looking back on it, and all these men suck.
Yes.
Well, but you know what's funny? I do like that they let these actors, and I don't know why on the history of the human planet, why these actors are the ones that got this opportunity, but they, like, sometimes they get to play the villain. Sometimes they're like the underdog lead. Sometimes they're the sassy sidekick. Like, you just tune into these early aughts movies. You never know what, for instance, a Colin Hanks is going to play.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. Colin Hanks is always a good guy.
He's a questionable guy in this movie. I would say this is a rare movie where he's not, he turns out to have a good heart, but he's kind of a little bit of a bad boy in this movie. Throwing parties without permission, being a little sexist, you know.
Yeah, yeah. But
Lauren is harsh on the teens. No party without permission.
You know, he was just trying to help out his friend, you know.
Yeah.
Or do whatever it takes, if this is called that.
Yeah,
but this is Get Over It, and Get Over It, I'm gonna say this, I'm gonna come in hot right off the bat, right, and say, okay, I think, I truly believe that Get Over It is one of the greatest teen movies ever made. I think this movie is so quirky, so weird, and so absurd that I love it.
Yeah. Well, here's my overall take is, like, on paper, I agree with you. Like, I think there's a lot to recommend this film. Mm-hmm. I think I read the script and I like it. I just think it feels like scene after scene to me. It doesn't feel like it has, like, a propulsion. And I think a lot of that comes down to, like, Ben Foster. And I don't know that I, like, love him as this lead. I also just think it could be a little funnier. Like, I feel like some other movies of this era are, like, just have funnier lines that...
I don't know. There's something to me. There's, like, a darkness to this movie.
That's not untrue.
And I think that's why Ben Foster works for me. Like, he's like I don't know. I was watching it again today, and the moment when he shows up at the party that Colin Hanks is throwing without permission, and he grabs Sisko's face, and he's like, "I'm going to kill him," is so terrifyingly funny to me.
Well,
and there's, like, that edge of darkness throughout it at times.
There is. I think it just doesn't tonally somehow land for me. And I will say this huge issue, and I hope you don't disagree, not nearly enough Sisko.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's 100% a problem. Well, that is a problem.
At the end, they get a full musical number from Sisko. Mm-hmm.
But that made me think, I wondered if more had been cut.
It does. I will say this. It feels like a movie that somebody came in and recut.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh.
It feels like it had a second cutting. Like, I think there are scenes... I think there's stuff we didn't
get. We need a director's cut. Yeah. We need a director's cut of Get Over It. I do agree with that.
There are a lot of characters, and I wonder if they had more scenes. Like Mila Kunis, I wonder if she had more scenes. Yeah. Or Zoe Saldana had more scenes.
I think Zoe Saldana either had scenes that were cut, or she was booking too much, and they, like, made her part smaller. But I do think – I think that character of Maggie was supposed to be bigger.
Well,
something feels off there.
This brings up a bigger issue, which is she is Allison's friend. And yes. I think the way they portray Allison is interesting in the movie. I like – parts of it. I like that they don't just make her, like, the bitch ex.
Yeah.
But I'm not always sure what her deal is. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. Like, I think it is okay for some characters. Obviously, women too often are used just as plot points, but sometimes someone's a plot point. It's okay. But I wasn't, as much as Shane West makes you feel like in this movie, Allison doesn't make me feel that much. And then you have Maggie being Allison's friend.
Yeah. Well, honestly, Allison was very vanilla. I can't even I don't remember much of her performance.
I actually think that's kind of, to me, I think Allison is kind of vanilla intentionally, because I think it's kind of to show you that, like, he has her on this pedestal, but like he's just projecting on her. Like, I think the moment that like really clarifies that for me is when she says like, I'm auditioning for the play, and she's like, I'm auditioning for a play. He's like, you hate theater. She's like, no, I don't. And it's like, he's just been dating like his version of her. Like he doesn't actually really know who this girl is. And I think like it's kind of a smart, subtle plot point that like it's the idea of Allison, not Allison. So we don't really get to know her because he doesn't really know her.
Yeah.
That's my theory.
Before we get any further, just for listeners who haven't seen it, here's the synopsis from IMDb. A high school senior's girlfriend breaks up with him. His friends try to make him think of something else. His friend's sister, Kelly, helps him with the school musical. Spending time with Kelly has an effect.
Wow.
It's very to the point. Do you think that's an accurate?
It has an effect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds like the movie I watched.
Very clinical, right? Mm-hmm.
It's very clinical. I think that what that description doesn't get across is that like this movie is quirky as hell. Like I don't know about you, Caitlin. I guess Rachel, you're watching it for the first time as an adult, but like I saw this in the theaters when it came out, and like that opening sequence with Vitamin C, and it's like he's having a breakup, and it's like so theatricalized, was like blew my little brain.
Do you think
like
that
I loved it?
Inspired 500 Days of Summer.
Yeah, obviously.
Well, it's interesting stylistically, and like most movies from that era are, unless they are going back to Shakespearean or Jane Austen times, are largely self-contained as far as references. Mm-hmm. And this one is really taking a page from 70s stuff. Like it's a Burt Bacharach mood. Even the fact like the parents host the like sex talk show is like a throwbacky thing. Mm-hmm. Sex being like part, like sex positive parents, I feel like is a 70s invention. So it's cool. Also, I did write Vitamin C can sing.
She really can. I was thinking about that and how we didn't get all of Vitamin C. Like we
what happened there?
And I feel like this movie, like the fact that she bookends it, she starts it, she finishes it, like she was poised to be a great star, and then it just never really happened.
It is interesting. She was already in her late 20s at this time, though.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like in the early 2000s, there was always one musical artist who made a cameo in a rom-com, right?
Fair enough.
Like Usher. Right. Now I'm trying to think of other ones.
And then Usher's and Hustlers. It comes back.
Oh, yeah.
It's coming back.
I miss
just him. Have Usher in every movie.
Yeah.
Well, you all, there's an Usher connection to this film, because do you know who wrote Get Over It is the same person that wrote She's All That, which has Usher in it.
I didn't R. L. Lee Fleming Jr.
Yeah, he wrote She's All That, and this is the next movie that came out. And then he does a couple episodes of Friends, a little bit of One Tree Hill, this TV show The Lying Game, a TV show called Light as a Feather, but not a ton of stuff. But now, unfortunately, he's penned He's All That, which is coming out.
Oh.
We asked him not to specifically.
We specifically said don't do it, but he did
I'm excited about that. I don't know, you guys.
I will, of course, watch it the moment it comes out, but I am nervous about it.
Addison Rae. That's what
I'll say. As one should be. It's tough. I noticed the director's name. His name is Tommy O'Haver, and he's a graduate of Indiana University, much like myself. And he also directed Ella Enchanted.
Oh, I love Ella Enchanted.
He's killing it.
He's crushing it. Well, and Ella Enchanted is similarly has that quirkiness to it.
Yeah.
That I like. It does. I love this. I want him. He has not directed enough for me. I think this man... It's fun.
Did United States of Tara episodes, which makes
which is
some
fun,
sense.
Which makes
and then
so much
he
sense.
Had a film called Most Hated Woman in America. We'll have to check out on Netflix.
That's about me.
Yeah, the Rachel Chapman story. Wow.
Wow. Wow. Wow. Wow. But I think he's so fun. But I have to just say, like, I have to say though that for me, the reason this movie is so delectable is because Martin Short as Dr. Yeah. Desmond Forrest Oates. And I, this was my, he was my drama teacher. If my high school drama, my high school drama teacher was Dr. Desmond Forrest Oates, but like a little bit more tongue in cheek and not quite so, you know, earnest about it. But we all loved this character, and I have always wanted, since the moment I saw this, for there to be a spinoff. I want Dr. Desmond Forrest Oates.
I think
this would be such a good, like, Netflix or Hulu show where it's literally the same character, and we find out he's still teaching at the same high school, like, 20 years later.
It should have been a UPN show immediately time.
But now we can still do it. And, like, I can just see it now. And you'd have that great episode where, like, there's, like, the high school reunion. And Colin Hanks, they all come back. And they're like, Jesus Christ, you're still here. And it's so funny.
I did love his line when Kirsten Dunst announces that she sang her audition song. And he doesn't care. And he's like, did you expect applause? Because it is, like, truly, it is one of those teenage things where it's like, that's not the parameters of what we're doing here. You're doing a singing audition. No one gives a shit.
He has so many quotable lines. In college, my friend Chris and I would quote all the time that there's a scene towards the end. They're putting on for those who haven't seen it, like, they're putting on this high school production of Midsummer Night's Dream, but it's a musical, Midsummer's Rockin' Night's Eve. And they keep having actors get hurt or sick, and they keep having to do, like, understudies. And there's this scene where they're looking for someone to volunteer to play another part. And the kid who's playing Puck, which is, like, one of the leads, keeps raising his hand. And so Martin Short's character is like, put your hand down, little Steve. I must have quoted that a billion times in college. My friend Chris and I would always, whenever someone was, like, annoying us in acting class, we'd be like, put your hand down, little Steve. That was little Steve was, like, our code name for someone that was, like, just too annoying.
Well, this also has such proto High School Musical themes, mm-hmm. with the splitting your time between basketball and the musical.
I was gonna say the kid who I think he plays Puck, he's also plays Harry Butkus from the Mary Kay and Ashley movie It Takes Two.
Wow. Right.
Yeah, that kid worked.
A king yeah. books.
Yeah.
Like, wow. Truly, this cast is so iconic.
It is crazy. Yeah. I mean, we love Swoozy and Ed Begley Jr., I don't know if we mentioned, character actor for the ages, certainly was booking Seventh Heaven at this time, so didn't need it. Did it for the art.
Did it for the art.
Coolio. Get over it.
Leah was considered to play the role of Maggie, but the part was given to Zoe Saldana.
Wow.
And this came out right before the Thong Song, so this was before Cisco was Cisco.
So I think what happened was he had the album, like, coming, and I think his team worked a deal because this was sort of like his introduction, if you remember. Like, you were sort of like an introducing Cisco was, I kind of remember this being a thing at the time.
Wow.
Also, romantic links. Kirsten Dunst and Ben Foster dated from late 2000 to early 2001. And then in the movie, they talk about Macaulay Culkin. And then later, Mila Kunis dated Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah, like soon after this, I think. And
it feels like it maybe was a joke added in because he was hanging around set.
Oh, maybe.
That was a thought I had.
No, I don't disagree with that thesis at all. Ben Foster, my most recent Ben Foster interaction, and, you know, I interact with him when I watch things. Interaction. He knows about it.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, every time you watch TV, the characters are aware.
Yeah. They feel a little ping.
Can you imagine if that were true? Poor Ellen Pompeo.
Ellen Pompeo's on fire. Over Pandim, I watched the Gillian Anderson version of Streetcar, in which he played Stanley. And that was... I think he did a good job. I'll say that. Like, it's one of the hardest roles, and there was a lot going on. It was one of my man, Ivo Van Hove, or whatever. Maybe that's not even right. But anyway, it's one of those weird British directors. So it was weird. Gillian Anderson was there. He was trying to keep it together, and I think he did a great job.
Yeah.
My God.
I was
going to
say, that was the darkness through which then I saw Get Over
It. Well, he does love, he started out on the Disney Channel, right? With Flash Forward. Oh. Yeah. And then he found his calling, which is like creepy guys, right?
Yeah.
Which, and now he's married to another That 70s star, That 70s show star, Laura Pepron.
Oh, really?
Oh.
Laura Coupon?
I did have a Ben Foster interaction once on the subway in New York City. But this was when he was dating Jenna from Forrest Gump.
Robin Wright. Robin Wright Penn, yeah. Robin Wright.
Because they were together and I was like, oh my God, it's Jenna.
yeah. She's so cool. He's... See, so is he a Scientologist? Because she is.
Probably. Let me Google.
I don't know. I've never heard of him being a Scientologist, but it would certainly explain some of the twists and turns his career has taken.
It would. And also, like, they tried to shop her to Tom Cruise and it didn't go. Mm-hmm. So that means she's trusted and important within Scientology, not just a Scientologist. So. Yeah.
He is not.
But he must be friend. Obviously, he's minimum friendly to it because.
Yeah.
Wow.
Damn.
There's no Leah Remini.
He has done so much. He works so constantly. You forget how much he works. Damn.
Yep. I just wish someone else booked this role because I thought his character was a little too intense.
I tend to agree. I didn't love it. I actually really love Colin Hanks in this, to be honest. And I felt like it just, to me, his energy was hard for the lead of the film that is in an overwhelming number of scenes.
I love it. He's like an anti-hero. I love that he's like the antithesis of what the leading men of the time were like. He felt so different than like a Freddie Prinze Jr. You know, like I loved it.
To be honest, I don't like the movies that have male leads that much. So I'm already like not loving those, like from the teen movie genre.
Yeah.
So I have to like love you, to be honest.
I guess I also, maybe I'm just predisposed because I loved him so much on Flash Forward that like I was predisposed. I walked into this movie ready to love it and I saw it when it first came. You know what I mean? Like I was the target demo and I
felt. What is Flash Forward?
Flash Forward was an adorable show on the Disney Channel about these little, they were like what, in middle school?
Yeah, they were like 12, 13.
And they were like, it's just like about.
They lived across, they lived next door to each other. It was very Whatever It Takes, where they live next door to each other and they were best friends.
Yeah, it's just like two best friends growing up, navigating middle school together. It was adorable. And it's like.
What does the name come from?
That I don't remember.
Okay, but it's not like a sci-fi show.
No, it's just a coming of age show.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So it's like Ready or Not. It's another Canadian show, it looks like.
Yes, it's very much like Ready or Not. And I devoured every single episode that came out. And so that went off the air in like 1997, I think. And then this movie came out in like 2001. And so I had been like, where's he been? Like, so when this movie came out, I was like, oh, he's back. It was very exciting for me because I loved him as Tucker James on Flash Forward.
Tucker. Yeah.
And this was before we could just, you know, go to YouTube and rewatch clips.
Oh, yeah. You just miss your faves.
I was just missing him. I thought, I was like, somebody put him in jail. He's been hidden for years. Where has he been? I was thirsting.
You never knew.
You never knew. You never knew.
Yeah. I want to talk about the musical.
Great.
I loved it. And yeah. I wish someone would put on an actual production of it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know how that we were talking about Smash season 2, how they made Hit List a show. I think they should make a Midsummer
Rockin' Nights
Eve. Rockin' Eve.
Lauren, yeah. I've never heard a project you should do more.
Yeah,
wow, thank you. 100%. A concert production, just to start a concert production.
No. Okay.
Of
not no.
A Midsummer Night's Rockin' Eve.
Yes. One of my favorite things about the sequence where we actually get to watch the musical is, and honestly, Colin Hanks deserves an Oscar for his performance, but like the takes of the audience reactions are so iconic. And as someone who went to a performing arts high school, and we took our work very seriously, and the poor audiences that had to sit through our shows, it's like, it just feels so real. Those are like the journey the parents go on from like sheer terror to like, oh my God, my kid's not that bad. It's just, and call, great audience work.
Oh my God. What if they did an episode of Disney Encores, but for this?
Oh
like,
my God.
Wait, Lauren, this is like a fan fiction / spec you should write. It's like Disney Encores, but for
I would love that.
High school.
Oh my gosh.
And they're all like, what happened to, oh my God, it could be so funny.
Oh my God, that would be the best.
And just, right, and but you know how in Encores sometimes they have like someone who wasn't in the show or was like a small character, they make him a bigger character. Yeah. You should bring Colin and give him like an actual role in the show.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh my God, it'd be so good. It would be so good. And Cisco is like the dance captain teaching them all the choreography.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I will say the only audience reaction I didn't understand as or didn't think was believable was when everyone was like, oh, when Kirsten Dunst was singing.
Oh, yeah.
They were like, oh, this is so sweet. Because that's usually the moment where I'm like, oh God.
What do you think of Kirsten Dunst in general?
I'm a fan. I like her. Yeah. I think she's fun. I generally like her. I think that, you know, she's given us some questionable performances here or there. but at the end of the day, no one can take Drop Dead Gorgeous away from her or from us. True. And like, when you've seen how high she can fly, like, anytime I think she misses, I kind of go, well, either her team shouldn't have encouraged her to take this part, or someone did something wrong in the directing or writing. Like, she's talented. She's a talented person. But I do think there have been some weird zigs and zags here and there.
You know what? I didn't see her most recent show, and I would like to check it out. The one.
I haven't finished it, but I saw the pilot episode, and she's so good. Like, again, like, she's so, whether you like the show or not, her performance is so good.
I think sometimes the choices are more like the things she's taken are off.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think she's been a part of some things that I'm like, what's going on there?
Well, they're just still, I feel like some representation, or maybe it's her, are still trying to make her like a Hollywood star. And I don't think that's really it. Like, she's weirder.
She's a character. She's a, yes. She's a character actor in a hot girl's body.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And like, Bring It On and Drop Dead Gorgeous were like, well, maybe less so Bring It On, but they're both like kind of weird characters.
Yeah.
At a time, you just had to look that way.
Yeah. But I mean, like, think about some of the like absolute bangers she's done. She's like Interview with a Vampire, Little God. Women.
That one Jumanji. Freaks me out.
She was in Jumanji, Sisters. She did a couple episodes of. Come on.
That's mostly what people think about.
Mostly, if they're me. Virgin Suicides, which is, you know, Spider-Man. I think she's great.
Marie Antoinette. That was interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Crazy Beautiful. She's so good in Crazy Beautiful. Mona Lisa Smile, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. And we can never forget the incredible film Wimbledon. Come on.
I forgot it.
Wimbledon, it's so good.
Wimbledon,
I did forget it though.
You can't. and this one is not Cameron Crowe's best work, but I think she was really charming in Elizabethtown. I think that movie could have been better, except I think Orlando Bloom is not very good in it. Sorry, I said it.
Sorry, Katy Perry.
I'm sorry, Katy Perry. I just think I think it was a stretch for him. I think he was trying to be Tom Cruise, and he just wasn't. He's just not Tom Cruise. He's something different.
You find out the hard way. Find out the hard way.
You're not Tom Cruise.
Elizabethtown was trying too hard to make them Tom and Renee, and like Kirsten was strong enough to not fall into the trap of trying to be Renee, but Orlando wasn't strong enough, and he tried to be Tom. And it's like, we've already seen Jerry Maguire. Show me something new.
Interesting. What do we think about the New Zealander character in this movie?
So that actress was in so much stuff at that moment. She was also in that movie. Oh my God, it's a Freddie Prinze Jr. movie where all the models think he's a head over heels. She plays this like dumb model in that movie too. She was in a couple other movies in the early aughts. I think she's, it's such a moment. Like Hollywood fell in love with this woman for a moment. And to me, she's just like, that's, if nothing else, like when I see her, I'm like, I know exactly what year this was. I know what we're,
right.
Like
for the listener that, hasn't seen the film, an exchange student from New Zealand has been in a coma for 5 years, and this explains why she's an older hot model that's in high school, which is funny that they bother to explain that, but I like that. And then she's also extremely clumsy. She's always falling, and but my favorite thing that she does is somehow she gets tampons to fly out of the tampon dispenser, and that's useful.
That was useful. Cool. But I feel like for a male director, they're like, ugh, then you can't use them, right?
Yeah. Well, it landed in that woman's afro and she was like, great. Yeah. For later. And yeah, there were some odd things with the way her scenes were directed, to say the least. It's a little fan service, but what can we do? I don't know. I found it interesting.
Her last movie was 2005, Tennis Anyone? She's only done eight things.
Yeah, well, because she was a huge model, though. Like, she was, like, she was in campaigns from everyone from, like, Clinique to Dior to Oscar de la Renta. Like, she literally did campaigns for everyone. She was huge.
It seems like acting was a very side thing for her. She was kind of just exploring.
I think, it was just the thing they did. But, fun fact, she sued a French men's magazine in 2009 for using bare-breasted images of her on its magazine wrapper. And she sued them for sexualizing the nature of the photographer, or she sued them because she said they sexualized the nature of the photographs, which were inconsistent with the image that she had sought to develop. And yeah. And she,
I like that.
I like it too. I think she's a badass.
I
love that she's from New Zealand in the movie too. That's always that always makes me laugh when that something like that happens, because it's like, what was it in the script and then what happened? And I don't know.
Yeah, there's also
like, you'd think you'd probably write it like a French model or something like that in the script.
Oh god guys, I should have stopped googling, but unfortunately she is canceled because she publicly supported the election of Donald Trump.
Oh no.
Maybe she misunderstood.
I mean,
she could have misunderstood. And actually, that's on you for reading.
I made the mistake. I shouldn't have Googled her. I should have walked away, but I did. And now.
Well, one of the characters, his name is Peter Wong, but he's not.
I feel like
that was supposed to be for an Asian actor.
I was confused by that, and I went back, and I was like, was this like some sort of reference I didn't understand, a weird joke, or as you said, something that was written for an Asian actor, but then when they cast a white guy, I just didn't get it.
Is he white?
I mean, that's a question, I guess.
Yeah, well, he's Canadian.
Well, I know he's Canadian. I know he's Canadian because he was on Degrassi. He was he was the teacher that Paige has an inappropriate relationship with.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Wow. He was also having a moment in the early aughts in Canada. So
yeah,
he's a huge part of why I love Get Over It, because he was on a lot of my favorite Canadian teen shows that I would somehow find a way to watch.
Famous Jet Jackson. And that's it. Supernatural.
Yeah.
Wow, I'm learning so much. I want to talk about Colin Hanks a bit. You know, this
Okay.
Colin Hanks.
Yeah. Didn't see that coming.
I'm surprised, but I'm ready for it.
So first of all, what is your favorite Colin Hanks movie?
Caitlin.
Orange County.
That's interesting. My favorite Colin Hanks movie is Get Over It. My second favorite Colin Hanks movie is probably The House Bunny. And then my third favorite is not a movie, but a TV show, Roswell. Those are my top three favorites.
I need to watch Roswell.
It's on Hulu.
Yeah, he's great on it. Yeah. He's one of my favorite parts.
He plays a nerd like he normally does.
Yeah, and he is Katherine Heigl's introduction into scene work with a ghost.
Well, yeah.
I mean, so she owes him a lot. He taught her a lot.
We all owe him a lot then.
Yeah. But yeah, those are my three favorite Colin Hanks properties.
Wow. Yeah.
What about you, Rachel?
Well, you know, I love all of Colin Hanks's.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay. And I'm on a journey to watch all of his movies, so I'll let you know when I finish.
Does he know about this project?
No. Yeah.
Oh, you didn't write a letter to his dad?
I didn't. I told his dad that I had a season one about him, but I didn't tell his dad about season two about his son. Ooh.
Well, is Colin Hanks on social?
Yeah, he is.
Oh, my God. And then, Rachel, follow up for you. Did you read Busy Phillips' book?
I did not.
Oh.
They okay. Well, it, right? Project.
So Rachel,
Lauren,
when you
send her our copy.
Yeah. When inevitably you end up doing an episode of the podcast dedicated to that book because he's in it, please bring us back.
Oh, he's more than in it.
Some might say that the book should be called Colin, I'm Not Over You.
Yeah, dedicated to Colin Hanks. Thank you for everything, Colin Hanks. I love
Wait,
you.
Wait, is she
Colin.
Still in love with him?
I mean, you... I
read it.
If anyone reads that book and tells me that woman doesn't love Colin Hanks, then we read different books.
Oh, spicy.
I think she is... She can pretend all she wants with her husband, but
I don't think she's pretending much.
I mean,
there was a Demois, like not blind item, but question about them. And the person who runs that account was like, I don't know, but like they've been, I don't know. There's some energy around them that is so off.
The energy is that he's not Colin, so she can never love him fully.
Oh, and I agree.
Sad. You know,
and
that's
stop.
That's probably what's going to happen with my marriage one day.
But yeah, like they won't be unless you marry Colin.
Yeah,
because I'm assuming you want Tom to be your father figure.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you know what's really annoying is Chet is my age, and it would have worked out if he wouldn't have been Chet. You know what I mean?
Rachel, you could still save him.
There is a third son.
Oh yeah, what's his name?
Truman. He is younger than me, but not by much.
That's right.
You know, I feel like my energy is young, so
I think you and someone named Truman make sense to me.
Yeah,
also.
Yeah.
Wow. Well,
Chet's real name is Chester.
Man, I don't see that for you. I do think that's a way that they messed him up a little bit. To start.
If you did marry Chester, he would have to take your last name because Chester Chapman. We would have to do that.
Truman Chapman's pretty fun too.
Truman Chapman works.
Chapman's just a good last name though.
Yeah. Truman Chapman does sound really good.
Yeah. Well, Truman, if you're
And
listening.
Then Rachel Hanks. You should switch.
Oh, fine.
Oh, name swap.
I don't think a couple's ever done that, have they?
I don't know about it.
You should be the first.
Wow. It would really ruin my SEO, though. But
actually, though, Rachel Hanks Chapman would be really good.
Oh, yeah.
And Truman Hanks Chapman?
Yeah.
Hanks Chapman is pretty nice.
Yeah. Well, I keep telling everyone that.
But yeah, Colin has a very rich body of work. He's given us quite a few great films, but I did happen to rewatch The House Bunny a few nights ago, and is it so funny still to me for some reason.
I thought you were gonna say House Bunny.
Yeah, before this podcast, I would have said The House Bunny is my favorite, but I'm watching all the movies, so I have to clean.
Yeah,
I can't make a decision until I've seen them all.
Yeah. I mean, his cameo in Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle, excellent.
But, and a Nick Jonas, too, in that movie.
Yeah.
You know, I love it.
You simply must.
Yeah. Do you think that Tom Hanks sees all of Colin Hanks' films?
No.
Well, t- Tom simply doesn't have the time. No. He's simply making too many movies.
Yeah.
You mean Tom is on set too much?
Yeah, Tom's just on set constantly. I bet you he's watched a few minutes of everything, but there are some he hasn't watched all the way through, and there's some that I'm sure he's missed just completely.
I don't see Tom Hanks watching The House Bunny.
No, I do. I think that one he did see.
Wow.
Because well, I think early, like I think anymore he doesn't watch them.
Yeah, I think that was early on. It was a big one. It was a big blockbuster. And I think Tom would appreciate that kind of comedy. Like, even though it was a little risk, I think like he gets it. He gets what that movie's about.
Yeah. I mean, he did write Larry Crown, which has similar energy.
mm-hmm. But like, he hasn't seen every episode of Life Roswell. In Pieces or Roswell or I don't know.
He did see Fargo.
Yeah, he definitely watched Fargo. He hasn't watched Drunk History.
I think he might have, though.
Maybe.
I think he thinks it's funny.
He definitely didn't watch Bad Teacher because nobody watched Bad Teacher.
That was a TV show?
Mm-hmm.
I saw the movie.
Yeah, there was a movie with Cameron D.
Yeah, and then it was turned into a TV show, and I think it was canceled pretty quickly. I think it was like a mid-season. I think he's credited for only 4 episodes, so I feel like it was like a canceled after 5 episodes sort of situation.
Dang.
Yeah.
Well, what? So do you guys like Orange County?
I haven't seen it yet.
I haven't watched it since I was a teenager. When it came out, I hated it.
Oh.
I love Jack Black.
I need to watch it as an adult.
And I love Kevin Klein.
I love Kevin Klein. And I love what's her name from the Babysitter's Club that was in it. I remember wanting to love it, but I was so bored. And I hated my experience. But I have not watched it since I was a teenager.
I haven't maybe either, but I just remember liking it.
Yeah, a lot of people have said that's their favorite. I think that's, like, the most memorable.
That's his, like, prestige film.
Also,
that's, like...
my husband did bring up once when we were talking about, like, the themes are kind of stupid, which is true. like it's one of those movies where, well, I guess I'm not going to spoil.
Yeah.
We'll come back to talk about.
Yeah, I'll come back and talk to you guys about Orange County once I've seen it. But I do want to get back to Colin's performance and get over
Felix.
Felix.
He's the best friend. He's the brother. He's the bad boy. And
I get it. Well, I don't know if he's a bad boy. I still think he's a nerd.
Well, Lauren feels like he threw the party without permission. And that is going on the permanent record.
I feel like they're not like nerds, though. I feel like Cisco and crew, I feel like they're on the basketball team. I think they're kind of cool kids.
They're not cool, though.
Yeah.
I feel like they, like, okay, one thing I like that Felix says that I wish more teenage boys treated each other this way, and it sounds bad, but I think it's good, when they're talking about the New Zealander model. He's like, and for some reason, she's willing to lower her standards to date you. A little bit of like playfulness. Mm-hmm. Actually, even though he's insulting his friend, he's not. He's being friendly and funny.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I feel like younger men actually could use that a lot in friendships. And you see it on television, and you don't always see it in person. Like sometimes guys like that are actually really precious with each other because they don't know how to like joke around like in a way that builds relationships. So that was just me getting real. Anyway, I like Felix if he was real.
I think Felix is a great character. One of the weirdest but such a funny moment is there's this moment when Ben Foster's character calls and Felix answers the phone, and Ben Foster's like, "What are you doing?" He's like, "I'm watching the dog like hump the rubber tree plant or whatever." Mm-hmm. And he's like, "Is that a metaphor?" Or like he thinks he's like creating some what do you call it? Like euphemism. But it's not. He's literally just sitting there watching this dog hump this plant. And it's so stupid, but it's so funny. There's so many, like, Colin has so many little moments that are so funny. Like, they bring Ben Foster's character to a strip club, but it happens to be dominatrix night, and then of course the cops come and they, like,
yeah, that doesn't make sense.
They leave his ass so fast, though. The moment when they, like, when Colin just is like, my dude, is so funny. Very there's funny. So many yeah. little
Carmen
moments.
Electra,
god bless
Carmen
her.
Electra was fun, and I think she was really fun in parts like this.
Yeah. Well, a well-placed cameo.
Exactly. Like a little more than a cameo, but not too much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just little Carmen Electra.
Yeah. Yeah.
I
did like that Felix towards the end. Well, first, obviously, be weirded out if your friend liked your little sister, right? And he was like, no. But then he realized that they really liked each other, and then he came around. And I think that's a moment you don't normally see in movies, because you normally see the older brother who's like has a really tough time dealing with it. And is like, no, but he cared about them.
You know what? But also what I think is realistic is, even though this isn't the Felix-led movie, there is a Felix-led movie out there in Felix's brain, and that's what he was attending to. Like, yeah. I feel like, you know, it's like, oh, I was concerned about that. But then I remembered myself.
Yeah.
And that's, like, very realistic to the teen and to people in general.
Yeah. Well, and I like the fact that, like, he's a nice brother. I feel like we don't see... In this genre and at this time, we didn't often get to see, like, an older brother that's, like, just, like, likes his little sister. Like, he's,
yeah,
like...
Yeah, they just exist, you know?
It's yeah. Like... And they're, like, yeah, I'm into it. And the fact that he, like, helps his sister pull off the change of the song during the musical is cute. Cool.
And yeah. And the fact that he actually showed up to his little sister show was nice, because my older sister didn't go to any of my things because she hates musicals. And
wow, that's where it is. Here it is.
So I'd be more like a Colin, you know?
Wow. Yeah. Find your inner Felix.
Yeah.
I don't want to derail too much. Would we know what Mila Kunis's character's name is? Because I did not catch this while watching the film.
I'm trying to remember. I don't remember.
I do have it.
I have it on Wikipedia here, and it is shocking me.
What is it?
Basin?
Oh, Basin. The names in this movie are
well,
wild.
And the lead is named Burke, which isn't that weird, but it's spelled B-E-R-K-E.
Yeah, Burke Landers.
Well, they're kind of, I get Landers is kind of like Lysander, which is who he's supposed to be.
Is Basin a Midsummer Night's Dream? It must be,
yeah.
Right?
It must be a play, yeah.
Based on it, because, you know, they're the whatever, but... And I guess Colin Hanks is the entire woods, because his name is Felix Woods.
So cute.
Just kidding.
Weird. I loved the trend of the teen movie based in Shakespeare. My God. Oh, yeah. Like, how fun.
Yeah.
What a fun time that was.
I really do think that when you adapt something from, like, a Jane Austen or Shakespeare into, like, a high school, like, you can't go wrong, because you've already got a good structure.
Yeah.
You just
have to
map onto it.
It's true.
It always works.
Yeah. Except She's the Man was boring. Sorry. I'm a She's the Man hater. Sorry.
I love that movie.
Sorry.
I've never seen it.
Oh. It's
I'll be the tiebreaker.
Mine's Gouda. That's just one quote.
She's the man. But you know, I'm a Ladybugs gal.
Ladybugs is perfect. Ladybug is a perfect movie, and I love it so much.
Ladybugs.
No notes for Ladybugs. So perfect.
Wait, what do you think the word is?
Ladybugs.
The ladies bugs.
Ladies bugs.
Ladybugs.
Ladies bugs.
I actually haven't seen Ladybugs.
Oh my God, so fun.
Because you're younger. Yeah. But it's a different gender bending soccer film.
Yeah.
And I'll add it to my list.
Stars the wonderful Jack Kay and Rodney Dangerfield.
Ooh.
And the late Jonathan Brandeis, who I had such a crush on.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, okay, so there's a There's a, so Colin Hanks, I don't know if you know this, he has a line of handkerchiefs called Hankskerchiefs.
Okay.
So for the podcast, I'm having my guest design a Hankskerchief based on the movie we watch.
Okay,
so,
I love this.
So what would your Hankskerchief look like for Get Over It?
Okay.
Okay.
One element, I think it should be a pattern that has like different, like one of those you don't even notice it has real objects in it, and then you look closer, you know what I mean? Like it looks abstract, but then it's made up of little things from the film.
Ooh.
Does that make sense? And one should be a crossbow, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Are we each designing, or are we coming together?
You guys can each design or come together.
Well, I'll just lay out some things, and you can either change them or incorporate. So that's what I like. Like, almost it's going to look like a paisley, like traditional handkerchief, but it's really not. It's, once you look, it's optical illusion. There's little things in it, such as the crossbow I like. Big red gum.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
What else? The pantsing, the jockstrap from the pants, the basketball issue. You know, just Cisco in general.
So I think I love that. I think in addition to that, he would also release one that's more Felix driven. And there would be and so on this handkerchief, it would be like a red handkerchief, but then it folds so that it can go in the, it's designed to be, have like the art stand out when it's in your pocket, like a pocket square. And so right there you have the rubber tree plant with the dog humping it, but the dog is wearing a t-shirt, like a Hawaiian t-shirt or something, something to allude to like a little bit of like a party vibe.
Party vibe.
Oh yeah, because he threw the party illegally.
Because he threw the party's a bad boy.
yeah. And there would be probably like I don't know, maybe like a basketball on the floor right next to the rubber tree plant, and like some empty bottles or something.
Yep.
Wow. I don't know. Beautiful.
Yeah.
It does feel like this could have been a show. Like, should have been a show.
I think it's. Swear to God, I'm going to keep saying this until it happens. I really, really, really think it should be a show, but it's centered around Martin Short's character, and we get to see him playing this character.
So much is going on.
But I want to see the show about the high school drama teacher that 20 years later has the same job, because that's so real. Right?
No. Like, well, yeah. I mean, yeah, that's how, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I think that's the thing that some of these reboots are missing. It's like, no. Zero in on that one character whose life didn't change.
I haven't seen it, but I've seen a lot on social media about it. But that one Nickelodeon show that's a drama club. It's like a High School Musical, the musical, the series, but Nickelodeon's version.
Oh, I didn't know they had a vision.
It has John Milheiser as the drama teacher, and it looks very funny. So maybe like that, but like older, and with Martin Short as the drama teacher.
Well, because here's the thing about me. You're never gonna get me to say that we have enough Martin Short in the world. No. I love him. I think about him every day.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, there is a Tom Hanks tie in to Martin Short, because they're friends.
They're very good friends.
They're very good friends. But also, apparently, Martin Short, Steve Martin, Tom Hanks, they have colonoscopy parties.
Yeah. Yes. Yep. Yeah.
We know this because we've read the Martin Short
biography.
Reading memoirs.
We love a memoir.
I do want to ask Tom if that is true in a letter, but I feel like it's
It is true. They've all confirmed. They've all talked about it. Tom's talked about it. Steve's talked about it. Martin's talked about it.
I mean, maybe they can't do it every year, but, you know, they try.
But it's a thing they do. Yeah.
I do have to start getting colonoscopies earlier than everyone else, because that is how my dad died. I'm like, hey,
can I join? I do wonder about the, like,
How do you think this went down? Like, who got cast first, Colin or Martin? And how did that phone call with Tom go?
I think it was pretty different process, because I don't think they made Martin Short audition, and I do think they made Colin Hanks audition for this. So I did, but I don't know what that says about the timing.
Yeah. I'm so curious. Like, did they know about it? Did Tom say, hey, make sure my kid's okay on set?
I don't think so somehow.
No. Oh, yeah. Or did Martin run into Colin at craft services and go, Tom, did you forget to tell me something?
I think that, yeah, I bet it is more like that. Like, I bet he didn't really think about people he knew being in the movie. Get over it.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I like to think that Tom, Steve, and Martin talk they talk as much as you and I talk, Caitlin, is what I like to believe.
I know, but I what I'm saying is kind of worse, which is I don't think Tom was thinking about what his kid was like as far as like the movie he was in. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think it's like amount of talking. It's just like what is really present in your brain. And I don't think Colin Hanks acting.
So you think it speaks more to his relationship with Colin than his relationship with Martin?
Yes, but I don't even mean it in a bad way. Like, if you're Tom Hanks,
yeah,
and then you hear about the movie Get Over It, you're like, okay, cool, my son booked, that's great. Like, you don't care that much about the movie Get Over It.
Yeah, I don't know. It was his second big one, so that's why I think maybe he was paying more attention. And he certainly would care. I'm sure Martin brought it up, and I'm sure Steve and Tom were privy to Martin brainstorming how to make his role larger. Because all of those fantasy sequences, I'm like, well, Martin Short pitched this, and then they just said, sure.
Could be.
I don't know. These are my theories. I think about him too much.
Martin Short?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Maybe we should have a Martin Short pod.
You should.
Maybe Rachel could do the crossover, which is this episode.
Listen.
It'll be the short pod, and it's a very short podcast.
The thing I want more than anything else in this world is a Three Men and a Little Lady reboot where Steve, Tom, and Martin play my dad.
Yes.
And I'm getting it. And yeah.
And it's a movie or just something that's happening to you?
It's a Disney Plus series.
Yep.
I think it can happen.
It's okay to admit that you just want things to happen in real life.
I want them to be my fathers.
This is why you're being defensive. You're like, when Tom is my dad, he'll care about my movies.
Yeah. I mean.
And I'm going to get over at the show. Tom Hanks, my dad, will care. I wish Tom Hanks had a daughter.
He does.
Oh.
Elizabeth.
Is she an actor?
No.
She's a writer.
I don't care. I'm an actor.
She was in Forrest Gump.
A real daughter who's on camera.
Where she's sitting in the bus and she won't let little Forrest sit with her.
Oh, that's psychological trauma.
Yeah. okay. Well, the next part, I always make now a BuzzFeed quiz based on the movie.
Yay.
This week I made who's your dream date from the movie Get Over It.
Oh, I'm interested in this.
Okay. There's only a few questions. But who wants to take the quiz first?
Can we just answer at the same time? Or no, you have to fill it out.
I have to fill it out. Okay. But well, if you want to,
I'm going to go first because Caitlin has a real life husband. So there's less at stake here for her.
Okay.
Still a lot.
Which which NSYNC member is your fave? Chris?
JC. No contest. Okay.
Who's your fave actor from the 1999 A Midsummer Night's Dream? Stanley Tucci, Kevin Kline, Christian Bale, or Dominic West?
Ooh, Kevin Kline.
Okay. What's your role in your school's production? Audience, the funny one, lead, or dancer?
There's no option for the mother. I guess the funny one.
Okay. What's your favorite Tom Hanks movie? That Thing You Do, Forrest Gump, You've Got Mail, or Sleepless in Seattle?
That Thing You Do, all day, every day.
Okay. Your dream date idea. Go dancing, mm-hmm. have them come to my improv show, whatever they want, or a nice dinner.
What was the first one?
Go dancing.
I guess a nice dinner.
Okay, you got Burke Landers. You love a guy who's a bit too clingy. You need attention, and Burke will give it to you.
Okay.
That's so cute.
Hey, I don't hate it. I'll take Ben Foster. I'll take Burke.
Watch out. Scientology will come for your ass.
Hey, if it'll help me book, I'll join.
Oh, no, don't say that.
They don't want me. They've never even tried.
It's okay. They don't want me either. Okay. Caitlin, here's your turn.
All right. Okay.
Which NSYNC member is your fave? Chris, JC, Justin, or Joey?
Okay. Should I answer like teen self or what I know now?
I don't know. What date do you want? Do you want a date for your teen self or a date for yourself now?
You know what? Smart answer. I'll go with myself now. And I'll say Chris Kirkpatrick, wonderful man I've worked with.
Who's your favorite actor from the 1999 Midsummer Night's Dream? Stanley Tucci, Kevin Kline, Dominic West, or Christian Bale?
Gotta be Kevin Kline.
Has to be. There's no other
and cannot
option.
Be Dominic West.
What's your role in your school's production? Audience, dancer, the funny one, or lead?
Funny one.
What's your favorite Tom Hanks movie? That Thing You Do, Forrest Gump, Sleepless in Seattle, or You've Got Mail?
Sleepless in Seattle.
Okay, dream date idea. Go dancing, have them come to my improv show, nice dinner, or whatever they want.
You know, I'm going to say whatever they want.
Ooh. You also got Burke Landers.
You're rigging this.
You love a guy who's a bit too clingy. You need attention and Burke will give it to you.
I don't know about this. I think it's the Kevin Kline of it all. Which is ironic because he's not clingy. He's not clingy.
Literally all of his interviews about his like beautiful wife, Phoebe Cates, are like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. And, you know, we read the Patti LuPone memoir, so we know how that relationship went.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and that, I mean, we know Patti LuPone is so easy to deal with.
Yeah, there's never been anyone more delightful or down to earth than Patti LuPone.
Wow.
A down to earth delight.
That's how her agents pitch her. Oh, my goodness. Well, I guess Caitlin. Oh.
Patty's agent is like a character I want to meet. Well, hi, I'm representing Patti LuPone. If you don't know Patty, she's great. Just easy to work with.
Yep. Well, the good news here is that, Caitlin, you have a husband, so we don't actually have to fight over Burke. I'll just take the fictional character all to myself.
Yeah, and I said I wasn't a huge fan, really, so it works out well.
This works out fine.
I took the quiz and I got Felix.
Nice. Okay, you have obviously rigged this quiz.
No, I didn't.
You've obviously rigged it.
This is a cheating scandal on the level of Aunt Becky.
Listen. Listen, you and Massimo are getting charged.
What? No.
You're going down to Target.
Going down with Massimo.
Selling some more shorts to pay for USC.
Oh, we're deeply unwell.
No. Okay. Well, this is the part of the podcast where we rate the movie.
Okay.
Out of 5 Colin Hankses, how many mm-hmm. Colin Hankses do you give Get Over It?
10 Colin Hankses.
Whoa. You stole some of our Collins.
I love this movie.
We need to
do Collins. I love this movie. I'll give it as many Collins as I can give it because I love this movie. I've loved it for 20 years and I'll love it for the next 20.
Wow.
Three.
Why?
The audacity.
You know, it's just, you know, it's just something. I do think it works on paper. I think Colin Hanks is actually about my favorite actor in it. Mm-hmm. Not overall all the time, but like I think his performance in it I liked. I don't know. It's just, it's so many good parts, but it's not more than the sum of its parts to me. Ugh. I don't know. It just doesn't.
Put your hand down, little Steve.
Three.
Oh, dear. Rachel?
I'll give this 4 Collins. Okay. It's not a perfect movie, so it doesn't get a 5. But then also I took off a Colin because I really don't like any kind of throw up gag thingy.
Oh, and that part is hard for me. That part is hard.
Right. I skip it. Like, and then also I don't think dogs humping things are funny. I'm sorry. I usually don't,
and I don't think that joke is funny, but Colin's delivery is funny to me.
Yeah. Well,
it's not the action. It's the look in his eye, the glee. And I think that's what Colin has. Colin has this, like, smirk in his eye that is very present in this role, and I love it.
Yeah. He has a charm, like his dad. But yeah, I did enjoy this movie a lot. I thought I wouldn't because, you know, I didn't like Whatever It Takes at all.
But Whatever It Takes is hard. The only thing good about Whatever It Takes is that there's a Titanic themed prom and it.
Yes.
That's the only fun part.
Colin is great in that movie. But yeah, and Colin was great in this movie. So I'm giving it a 4, and I want to see the production and I want to see you put it on, Lauren. Yeah,
okay. All right. Well, I'll have to work on that.
Yeah.
Okay.
But is there anything else that you guys want to say about Get Over It?
I think Get Over It has never gotten its just desserts. I think it is a quirky, delightful film filled with powerhouse actors and performances. 10 out of 10, would Hanks again.
Maybe we need to see that director's cut.
Yeah.
I do think there's a
DVD copy of it.
There's a better cut out there, but it's still fun.
Yeah. I will say that I'm always looking for more rom-coms because I don't think there are enough.
No, there's not.
So it was nice to watch one that I had never heard of before.
Rachel, I wish that we could be together because I really want to rent out a movie theater to go see that new rom-com, Finding You.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I want to see that.
I'm desperate for a new rom-com.
Yeah, I'm going to keep writing them in Hollywood. Okay. You can buy them up Netflix. And thank you. We'll all write rom-coms. And then, why not buy them up and make them? Aren't they cheap?
You'd think.
Dang. Oh, well, whatever. Anyway, thank you so much for talking with me.
Thank you so much for recording our conversation.
Yeah. And where can people find you guys?
You can find us at our pod. We Stand Together, and we're on social media at We Stand Social.
We're on all the platforms, and we have westandsocial@gmail.com if you just feel like writing to us. If maybe, I don't know, you want to work on putting together a Midsummer Night's Rockin' Eve, let us know.
Yes. And if you liked all the memoirs we were mentioning, we have a book club. Mm-hmm. The two that we mentioned are two that we did not read through book club, but that Brickman and I psychotically read independently of the book club, but both read the same book, one time sharing a copy.
But do read a lot of memoirs in our book club.
Yeah, so look at our Instagram if you'd like to be a part of that. We're always welcoming new members.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to go read Busy Phillips. Yes. And then I guess I have to read Martin Short's too for the colonoscopy part.
Yeah, there's plenty of Hanks in both of them.
Yeah, there is actually.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. And then in my memoir one day, there will be a lot of Hanks in it.
And we'll read that in the book club. That's a book club selection.
That's a promise.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, I love you guys.
Love you.
We love you, too. And yeah. We love Colin Hanks.
Yeah.
We love
not as much
Colin.
As Busy.
Yeah. nobody loves anyone the way Busy Phillips loves Colin Hanks.
Facts.
Wow. And thanks for listening. Okay. Bye.
Bye.
It's a Tom Hanks podcast. Wow, a Tom Hanks podcast. You've got Hanks, so let's say thanks for